This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Ian Harris. How are you, Ian?
I'm very, very well. It's great to see you again, Chris.
Yeah, no, it's been a while. Oh, well, no, it has been too. We saw you at the 25th anniversary of the WCT at the Vintners Company.
Yes, yeah, that's, no, 55th, I think you were talking about. Oh, yeah. Long time ago.
And that's actually what we're going to talk about today is the Vintners Company. But some of the listeners may remember we had you on the show, well, probably 5-10 years ago, talking about WCT, because you used to be the CEO of WCT.
I was, yeah. I was CEO of WCT for 20 years, and I stepped down. I'm using the word stepped down rather than retired, because you use the word retire and people put you into a certain category. But I stepped down from the WCT 2.5 years ago. But I was CEO for 20 years and absolutely loved it. And it was great to see the development of wine education and spirit education. And of course, seeing the way that your organization got into that and really came to the forefront of wine education, particularly in London.
Oh, well, it's very nice of you to say.
My pleasure.
No, we're always competing with the 4,000-pound gorilla, though, in London Bridge, so...
Yeah, sorry about that.
Okay. What are you doing now anyway, Ian? You mentioned golf earlier, but...
Yeah, I play a bit of golf, relatively reasonably well. Just finished being captain of my golf club. I've done a bit of consultancy, but I do quite a lot of pro bono stuff. And I guess the major pro bono charity role that I've got is I'm chairman of the Gérard Basset Foundation, which is a charity set up in memory of Gérard Basset by Nina and Romane, so Gérard's wife and son, to support people who want to get into the wine and hospitality sector who maybe have a disadvantaged background, be that because of diversity or be that because of financial constraints. So I've been doing that for pretty much since I stepped down from WCT. So that takes quite a lot of time, but it's brilliant to see the way that we support people who otherwise wouldn't be able to get into the wine and hospitality sector, mostly through education all around the world and mostly targeting disadvantaged and underrepresented communities.
That's the Golden Pineapple Awards, isn't it?
That Golden Pineapples is the Drinks Trust.
Oh, that's
this
right.
is Golden Vines.
Golden Vines,
Golden Vines is the major fundraising vehicle for the Gérard Basset Foundation.
That's right. Yeah, we had Romane on the podcast talking about it when they first launched that a couple of years ago. And they've been sort of, I've followed it a little bit in terms of winning the awards because they're very good at PR.
Yes, they are, yeah. Well, the foundation itself was set up by Nina, and Gérard was terminally ill, so it was his idea, to be honest. And there are four trustees of this charity, so it's Romane and Nina, and then Jancis Robinson and me. Mm-hmm. So it's a nice small tight group, and I was asked to be chairman 6 months ago, so I chair it. We meet every 3 months or so. We have judging for people who are applying for grants. So as well as providing grants for people to do education, whether it's WCT education or other education in the wine and hospitality sector, we obviously have a certain amount of money that we can disperse, and we have to make sure that that money goes to deserving causes.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the Vintners Company, because the top dog in the Vintners Company is the master. That's not you, but that's going to be you soon.
I have to say, you always have to preface this statement with "if elected," because if elected, I will be master of the Vintners Company in 2 years' time. Yes, mm-hmm. And so the top dog, as you said, is the master. And the word "master" actually, it's a term that's been used for the 660 years that the Vintners Company has been in existence, and the master of any livery company is the head of the company for a year, normally a year, sometimes longer. It doesn't have to be a man. So the current master of the Vintners Company is actually a lady, Anne Hill, who's doing a fantastic job as master. But yes, in 2 years' time, if elected, I will be in the hot seat.
That's right. I met Anne at the WCT 55th anniversary and had a chat to her then. Okay, so let's get a little bit of a history, because you mentioned the word livery and then the Vintners Company. And I always think of them as guilds, or medieval guilds almost. So what was the Vintners Company originally about?
You're quite right to describe them as guilds, because what are now known as livery companies, and I'll explain what livery means. And there were, so companies were set up 600-700 years ago, some of them, to regulate and to control a particular trade or industry. So the Vintners' Company was set up, it received its royal charter in 1363 to regulate and control the trade in wine in London. And it had very far-reaching powers, so it would control pricing, obviously something that you can't do today with the current industry. But it would also regulate quality. And if a wine merchant brought in wines which weren't of sufficient quality, they could be banned from doing business. So it was a guild, but it was sort of halfway between a guild and a trade union back in the 1300s. Its role as a controlling body gradually diminished, and actually its final bit of control over the wine industry ended about 20 years ago, when the Wine Standards Board, which the Vintners Company had set that up and had a representative on that, that was then disbanded and rolled into DEFRA to control the making and selling of wines. So the Vintners Company don't have any controlling role at all. But back in the day, 600 years ago, they ruled the roost, and you couldn't trade in wine unless you were a member of the Vintners Company.
And there's a lot of these livery companies around. I did a big tasting at Tallow Hall.
Yes.
Which, yeah. Tallow is like animal fat.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, a lot of the companies, because there are over 100 livery companies, some of which still have a trade that they're involved in. Obviously, the Vintners Company has the wine industry. But as you said, the tallow chandlers, not many people buy tallow. As you said, it's animal fat, be a candle.
Yeah.
So a lot of the livery companies that were set up 600-700 years ago don't have a trade to which they are aligned. There's the goldsmiths, obviously still have an industry, but there are companies like Loriners. And you ask me what a Loriner is, I probably can't tell you. All I can tell you is that there isn't a Loriner industry. But all the livery companies that were set up, by and large, have survived, and they support industries which are tied in with the original industry that they were set up to regulate. Mm-hmm. So the salters, for example, there's not a salt industry anymore. There used to be. Salt was a very valuable commodity. But now there isn't a salt industry as such. So they support the chemical industry. The livery companies, and the word, let me just explain the word livery. When you're a member of a company such as the Vintners Company or the Salters or the Mercers, you start as a freeman. That's the lower level of membership. Then when you've proved yourself, you join what's called the livery, which means you are entitled to wear the livery, as in the clothing, of that particular company. So that's where the word livery comes from. So each of the livery companies, and they range from 1300s right through to some livery companies which are still being created now. So there is a worshipful company of information technologists. There's a worshipful company of world traders, which are new industries. But then going back to the 1300s, you have the vintners, you have the dyers, you have various organizations that were set up. And the Vintners Company is one of what's known as the Great 12. So that means it was in the first 12 livery companies to be set up and to receive its royal charter. And the Great 12, it used to be that the Lord Mayor of London could only come from one of those Great 12 livery companies. That's not the case now. But as such, it had a lot of power back in the 1300s.
So 1300s, quite powerful. Yep. Nowadays,
it's a great organisation to be part of, to be honest. I first came across the Vintners Company, although I'd been in the wine and spirit industry since leaving university in 1977. The Vintners Company only really came onto my radar screen when I was just before I joined the WSET in 2002. And then when I did join the WSET as CEO in 2002, we were a tenant of the Vintners Company. Mm. So our premises was in property owned by the Vintners Company.
So the old corner of Queen Street.
Exactly, yeah, Queen Street Place.
Went to my level 2, yeah. 3.
That's it, Queen Street Place, Upper Thames Street, which has got the speed camera that gets the most revenue of any speed camera in London, apparently. Just so you know.
I've been pinged by that one.
Yeah, so, yeah, most people have. Yeah, so we were WSET was a tenant of the Vintners company for 3 years when I was they'd been a tenant since they were founded in 1969, and actually the Vintners company set up the WSET back in 1969. So the WSET had been in premises owned by the Vintners company. I joined in 2002 and we started to grow. It came pretty obvious to me and to the rest of the organisation that we were going to outgrow the offices that we had at Queen Street Place. So we actually left the bosom of the Vintners company in 2005 and bought our own property in Bermondsey Street. The relationship with the Vintners company has always been really strong. I was invited to join the Vintners company back in 2008. And then in 2018, I was invited to join the court, which meant I'd be on the ladder to become master at some stage in the future. So, it's a fantastic organisation to be part of. Doesn't have any power as such, but it's a membership organisation. So you have to be either invited or you can apply to become a member. But I'm really enjoying being part of it. And a lot of what the Vintners Company does now is does a lot of good, A, for the industry, because we continue to support the industry. And I'm the chairman of the Trade Liaison Committee, which I'm delighted to be running. So we support the WSET, the WSTA, the Institute of Masters of Wine, Wine GB now. But we also raise a huge amount of money for charity. And that's something that all livery companies do, which is raising money for charities. And the livery movement, I think, in total, raises something like £30 million a year. The Vintners Company raise well over £500,000 a year, which goes to deserving causes. So it's there as a force for good, to be honest, both for the industry, but also for its charitable giving. And it's nice to be part of it, because it means I keep in touch with all the people I used to work with and sometimes compete against as well. So it's great to be part of it, and a real honour, to be honest, to be on the ladder to become master if elected in a couple of years' time.
A lot of the charitable fundraising is done as dinners, etc., isn't it? I've attended a couple of them over the years. Not too many. Often black tie and dressed up. Jane likes to dress up to the nines, and it gives her a chance.
They are all quite formal, and actually, when you first go to a vintner's dinner, it can be quite daunting because there's all sorts of quite quirky traditions that happen during a dinner. And a lot of them harp back to 660 years and the foundation of the Vintners Company. But actually, when we have guests who come over from overseas, they love the quirkiness of singing the grace, having a loving cup, having trumpeters on the balcony. It is steeped in tradition, but has definitely moved with the times to reflect what is now a very vibrant industry. And we used to use the words wine trade because that's what the vintners did. It regulated the trade in wines. But of course, now that the UK is a major wine producer, we actually look after and support a wine industry, anything from someone growing grapes in a vineyard in Sussex through to somebody who's serving wines in a restaurant. So it's basically an end-to-end industry. And the Vintners Company plays its part in supporting that industry.
A lot of the organisations in the UK have started at the Vintners Company. Do you want to give us a rough idea, run down through the big ones?
Yeah.
Because you mentioned Wine and Spirit Trade Association and WCT.
Yeah, I mean, the Vintners Company, as I said, has always been and continues to be a force for good. And education is very much at its core. So the first examination that the Vintners Company started and the organisation which was then born out of it was the Master of Wine qualification and then the foundation of the Institute of Masters of Wine in the 1950s. So that was the start of it. And then I can honestly say that the Master of Wine qualification back in the 1950s was a lot more straightforward than it is now. And I have seen some exam papers, and I think I would probably sail through. But as a result of the Master of Wine qualification being in place, there was clearly a need for education below Master of Wine, so to build people up to be able to complete the Master of Wine qualification. So the Wine and Spirit Education Trust was set up in 1969 with funding from the Vintners Company, and it took over courses and exams which had been run by the old Wine and Spirit Association, now the Wine and Spirit Trade Association, which in itself was founded by the Vintners Company many, many decades ago. So it's been a force for good. So it's education and support for the industry. And now, through the committee that I run, the Trade Liaison Committee, we support the WSTA financially, we support the WCT and the Institute of Masters of Wine more with events and being able to run, as you said, the 55th anniversary of the WCT. That dinner took place in Vintners Hall. Just two nights ago, I was at the Masters of Wine Awards event at Vintners Hall, where 10 new Masters of Wine were presented with their certificates. So it's very much supporting the educational side and the other organisations who have sprung up. We also support Wine GB. So Wine GB, which is now looking after the UK wine industry. So we have a dinner for them, which we fully fund once every 2 years. It's basically everything on the end-to-end side of the wine industry that we are very keen to support. But the charitable work isn't just about supporting the wine industry. It's also supporting people who have fallen on hard times. We support charities where there are children who are involved in families with alcohol problems. So it's a wide-ranging raft of charities that the Vintners Foundation supports. But it is, as I said, just over £500,000 a year that is raised, not just from fundraising dinners, but also donations from members. So as a member of the Vintners Company, I'm expected to, and I do, make a regular contribution to charity. There are also legacies when people sadly pass away. So the charitable fundraising is something that happens through various events as well as dinners. We have sporting events which raise money as well. And the Drinks Trust, which is the industry's charity, which I guess you and your listeners know about, is very closely aligned to the Vintners Foundation. So mm-hmm. The Vintners Foundation raises money and a donation goes from that to the Drinks Trust. So the charitable giving and seeing how the funds that we can raise help people in the industry is a real core part of it.
How many members do you have?
668.
Oh, that's quite a bit. You won't fit them in the hall.
Exactly. So there is a limit to the number of members who, and if I say members, a third of those, so around 220, are what's called freemen. It's not just men, it's women. So a lot of these phrases and words come from medieval times. A third is what's called the freedom, so they are freemen. And then two-thirds are people who've progressed to the livery. So they're liverymen, although they may be livery women as well. And the gender split is moving in the right direction. I can honestly tell you that the first time I went to a vintner's dinner and I took Jancis Robinson as my guest, which was probably nearly 20 years ago, we walked up the stairs and Jancis said to me, "Am I the only woman in the room?" And I had to have a quick look, and thankfully I could spot another couple. But now the gender split is really being addressed and is going in exactly the right way to get the gender balance right. But the wine industry, as we know, and I certainly found out a lot at WCT, the wine industry was very male dominated. Back in the day when I first joined the wine industry straight from university, everybody in the office was a man. The only women were secretaries and the lady who made the tea. Thankfully, that's changed. And when I was at the WCT, actually, we had more female students than we did male students. And when it came to the top award for the diploma, which is now the Vintners Cup, 7 out of 10 in the past decade, 7 out of 10 winners were women. So we are getting that gender balance right. And that's being reflected in what the Vintners Company is doing as well.
I always think of the things like the Vintners Company as being more of a, for the members, quite a good networking opportunity. Is that one of the key things that attract people to it?
It is, yeah. It's one of the key pillars, to be honest. We use the word fellowship, which again, fellowship is a word which dates back hundreds of years, but it basically means common parlance today, networking, because it's a great place to meet people, to talk to people in an environment where You can talk about anything. There's no barriers. Certainly when I was in the mainstream wine industry, you could talk to your competitors about what they were doing, obviously without breaking any rules. Networking or fellowship is an important part of it, but just as important is the charitable giving, and also the fact that we have the opportunity to support the industry that we were set up to regulate 600 years ago.
Okay, and you said if someone wanted to join the organisation, they need to be nominated or they can apply themselves. What are the requirements for them? Do they have to be in the trade? Do they have to...
That's a good question. The answer is no, they don't have to be in the trade. Of the members of the Vintners Company, it's pretty much half and half. 50% of people work in or have worked in the industry in some shape or form, but 50% haven't. With livery companies, there's a thing called patrimony, which again is a word which dates back hundreds of years. So if you are a member of any livery company, be it the Vintners or another livery company, you are entitled to propose your children as members as long as you were a member of that company at the time your child was born. Now, it doesn't mean to say that every son and daughter of every vintner becomes a member of the Vintners Company, but it's important that we have a good split of skills within the membership. So yes, people who work in the industry in various guises, whether they're wine producers, importers, distributors, agents, retailers, but also professional people such as lawyers, accountants, because running a business like the Vintners Company doesn't happen by accident. We have a full-time staff, but we need members who've got the financial skills. We have a finance committee of 10 people, for example, because we have investments that need to be managed. We have a property which needs to be managed. So it's pretty much 50% what we call trade and 50% non-trade. But if you want to join, we have the Vintners Entry Scheme, which is for people who are over 30, but we also have a Young Wine Trade Scheme. So all the details are on the website where you can apply and your application will be reviewed, and if appropriate, you'll be asked to come for an interview. But the traditional methods of joining a livery company are through patrimony, which was, as I said, if you are the son or daughter of someone who's an existing member, or through what's called a redemption. You're only allowed to propose two people each per year to be seconded, and then it goes through an interview process. So it's quite limited because there is a finite number, as you said. You can't fit 668 people in the hall at one go. But to become a member of the Vintners Company, patrimony and there's redemption. There used to be a thing called servitude, again, which sounds pretty medieval, and that's because that phrase comes from the medieval times. But servitude basically meant if you worked for a wine merchant for a certain number of years as an apprentice, and you then progressed to being able to conduct wine business yourself, basically came through into the Vintners Company through what was called servitude. That's now been substituted with Young Wine Trade Scheme, where people who've got an established career, they have to have passed WCT level 2, they have to be serious about their career, they can apply to join without having someone to propose them.
All right then, Ian, I think we'll wrap it up there.
Great, okay.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.